Hello, everybody. It's time for Talks About Tech Weekly. I'm your host, Malcolm McAndrew.
And I'm Kevin McAndrew.
Yeah, so a nice story to kick off the show, the Kindle Fire. Now, I know this device has been announced, but it's just come out now on the market. So it's a very elegant-looking device. It resembles kind of the iPad. It's got a very simplistic look. With the black, and it's a 7-inch tablet actually, and the touchscreen is actually pretty good on it. It's a 1024 by 600 pixels display. It's color. It runs Android on it, which is very interesting. Now it's a very heavily skinned, heavily modified version of Android. Some people see this as a contender to the Nook Color. Others see it as a contender to even the iPad, and the reason why is because it's so cheap. It's only $200. So some of the features of this is Amazon Videos, obviously. You've got a choice of thousands of movies to stream. Now, it's got, under the hood, it's got a dual-core processor, which is very impressive. You've got the Amazon App Store. It doesn't have the Android market, but it has the Amazon App Store, so you've got loads of games and apps. You've got the Amazon Bookstore also, obviously, as it is a Kindle, so you can read millions of and download millions of ebooks. Free cloud storage for all movies, photos, books, all that kind of stuff. And Amazon, they're saying they've come out with a new web browser that preloads, it predicts pages, and it will actually it'll predict. So let's say you go onto the technology section, it'll predict what page you want to go on to next, and it'll preload it in the background, so when it loads, when you click on it, it'll load instantly, which is really impressive. Now there's you can also select 17 million songs from the Amazon MP3 store. So there's loads of, you know, Amazon are trying to get iTunes basically on their tablet, and it's working quite well with Amazon MP3, the video market, the app market, all that kind of stuff. They're doing very well. So it's got 8 gigabytes of internal storage. Now, some people have been saying that's too little. You can't get a 16 or 32 gig model, but there is a solution. Basically, what's going to happen is Amazon are saying you're not going to need all that. You're not going to need that storage, because they're giving anybody who buys the Kindle Fire free cloud storage for photos, apps, videos, music, ebooks, anything like that. So they think this is going to be really a revolution, but obviously there's going to be a few problems with internet and that kind of thing. So apps, probably not, but videos, photos, ebooks, that kind of thing, I think will be going up on the cloud. So what do you think of basically Amazon trying to move people into the cloud, Kevin?
Well, I think it's kind of good, because people won't have to spend more on the memory that's actually in the device, like internally.
Yeah.
There's just one thing I'm wondering. Can you put in an SD card or something like that?
I'm not sure. I don't think you can. It's just 8 gigs of internal memory.
Yeah. But I think it's good, because people won't be buying as much. But then, you see, the thing is, you'd have to use the internet, and then you have to pay for the internet.
Yeah, I think it's got 3G on it, so.
Yeah, yeah. But still, you still have to pay for 3G, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, storing videos and that kind of thing, there's so much Wi-Fi hotspots now, and also you've got unlimited plans on 3G for, like, over in America for, like, $10 a month. So people are willing to pay that much money.
You know? And also it takes...
the additional storage.
Like, videos take up a ton of storage.
Exactly. So it would be better just to stream it from the cloud. So they're trying to go in the direction that Apple's going, with the cloud, with all the app stores integrating it into one. Also designing their own device with their own interface. Yeah. Obviously, the base is Android, but they've really heavily modified it, so it looks like a brand new operating system. They've got their own app store, which you can get for all Android devices. You can get the Amazon app store. Now, all the apps that go through the Amazon app store, which is very similar to the app store on the iPhone, is basically they're all monitored by Amazon, and they have to go through the stages of approval, basically. So very like the App Store, they're going very similar route to Apple.
Yeah, so would you be able to jailbreak it then? No? No, doubt it.
No.
Yeah, I guess why would you want to jailbreak it?
Now, you can hack it, so you can.
Yeah.
You could probably put standard Android on there, but it's so simplistic. Yeah. Basically, the target of this device is to make it easy for everybody to use.
Yeah.
All you have is one page, and you can scroll through everything you've got. It's very, very easy to navigate, that kind of thing. So I think it's going to do very well, especially for the price. It's around 160 euro-ish, I'd say, would be the price.
Yeah.
It looks very nice. I think it's a nice tablet.
It's a great price for what it is.
Yeah.
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 But also, I think it'll be good, like the iPad, it'll be good for younger children that would be using it.
Yeah.
Because it's so simple.
So easy.
And so if they're reading a book or something.
What this could be a solution to as well is, you know, there's a lot of school children in America who are getting iPads.
Yes.
And this is a much cheaper solution, much simpler solution, because it's an ebook reader.
Yes.
And you can get apps to write notes and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So it's got very similar, you can use it very similarly to the iPad. It's cheaper though. It's a bit smaller. The touchscreen is pretty much identical apart from size. You know, you've got very similar features. So I think this would be a better solution for schools, especially because it's limited.
Yeah.
You know, if it's limited to a certain number of apps. The App Store, you could get any, with the iPad, you could put any old app on there.
Yeah.
You know,
playing Angry Birds or something.
Yeah, that's exactly it. So, you know, I think this would be a slightly better solution to the iPad. Mainly because, not because it's better than the iPad, it's just the price. It's a lower price point.
Yeah. And also, most schools, I'd say, in America have Wi-Fi as well.
Yeah.
So, and I'd say most homes in America, if you were to get one, I'd say you'd have Wi-Fi as well. So if you're doing like schoolwork,
storing it in the cloud,
all that, or reading, you know, it's great. You know,
another thing you could do is the school could have like a server or something. I'm not sure if you can actually do this, but it's just an idea. And you, every morning when you go in, you'd connect to the server, and they'd have all the books on it.
Mm-hmm.
So the school would pay for the books, and all you have to do is log onto the server, and you can access the books.
Or the school could pay for the books, and everyone just pay a small little bit of money, so it would be reduced.
Exactly. So this has been a very, very, very important week for games. The PlayStation Vita obviously has been released. Call of Duty: Modern Warfare 3, Skyrim. We'll be covering that next, so what?
New PlayStation out.
Yeah, it's called the PlayStation Vita, so I'll tell you a bit about this. It's not going to be announced until... It's not going to be released until next year. Basically, it is very similar to the PSP.
Okay.
I'll just get a picture up for people who are watching video.
Oh, it's a handheld.
Yeah, it's a handheld.
I get you.
Basically, what this has is what I'm very excited about is this brand new ARM processor. It's a Cortex E9 core. So basically, it's a quad-core ARM processor. So this is going to really improve performance.
Why would... It's going to be very quick if it's going to be a quad-core.
See, this is a gaming machine.
Yeah, I guess.
So they want to get optimum graphics.
Is it a bit bigger than the PSP, is it?
I think it's the same size as the PSP.
Yeah, yeah.
Same kind of form factor, same look, except it's got a touchscreen. It's got dual analog sticks, as you can see there. Yeah, it's a 5-inch front touchscreen is 5 inches, and 960 by 544 is the resolution, which is kind of a strange resolution.
What do you mean by a front touchscreen? Touchscreen, sorry.
Well, there is a rare touchpad as well.
A what?
A rare touchpad.
What's that?
A touchpad on the back.
Oh, they're on...
You can see it there.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, okay, basically, the touchpad is so if you're... if you're using the L or keys, you can use the touchpads.
Yeah,
the
sorry.
So, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Actually, it's got front and rear cameras, which is very interesting, and it's capable of producing 480p, which is kind of interesting, 480p video, that is. It's kind of interesting to see that on a PlayStation device.
Yeah.
You'll be wondering where they're going with this. It's got a built-in microphone as well, so obviously video conferencing is a big thing that they're trying to push on this device.
Yeah, they're doing the video conference and just, like...
Playing games. Yeah. Like, doing a LAN party.
Yeah. That'd be
so
good.
So, also, you've got a gyro and accelerometer. So, they're kind of going towards iPhone kind of thing. Yeah. Being able to use the accelerometer.
Or, on the 3DS, I think, has it as well. The gyro and accelerometer.
Does it?
Yeah, I think it does.
There's been no games that use it, though, I don't think.
Yes, there has.
What game?
It's like, oh, I forget what it's called. It's like photo shooters or something.
Oh, right.
And you get all these pictures of people's faces. I think it gets them off your photos. And you just hold it up like this and you move it around. And then, yeah, there's a little, there's crosshairs and then you fire.
All right.
Yeah, I was playing it on my friend's 3DS. It's really fun.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So, this is taking mobile gaming to another level, really.
Yes,
because the graphics, it's got a quad-core graphics card as well, I think. So, what they're trying to do here is they're trying to bring hardcore gamers mobile.
Yes.
So, they're trying to get really, really good graphics on the mobile device. And because there's, what they were trying to do before with the PSP was take the market that the iPhone took. Casual gaming, not the best graphics in the world, but bring it on the move, that kind of thing.
Kind of like the DS.
Yeah.
It's not
exactly.
It's not 100% like really good graphics.
Yeah. And what they're trying to do is they've realized the iPhone's taking that market and they're trying to get hardcore gamers mobile.
Yes.
Which is a really, really good, smart move, I think.
Now,
from Sony.
Do you know how much it costs? Or an estimated price of it?
No, I didn't get an estimate. Didn't get an estimate. I think it'll be $250.
Ooh, it's good.
I think it's about the same as what the 3DS was when it first came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd say it'll go, well, no. Well, I'd say it might go down a small bit. Just maybe like 20.
Well, it depends on how many people are, how much of a demand there is for the product.
But like, if it's something like that, and if it goes down, if it goes to 200.
Yeah.
I'd love to get it.
Yeah, it just seems. So.
It's class. Cause
it depends on how the graphics actually is.
Yeah. So
it might have these really, really good graphics card, really good processor, but, it depends on how good the graphics. I mean, if it runs Modern Warfare 3 as well as my gaming computer will run Modern Warfare 3, I don't know. But if it would, if I'm saying.
Yeah.
If it does, I'm getting it.
I'd say it would.
Because I've got into hardcore games myself.
Yeah. Well,
anyway, we have to move on.
All the stuff that's on it, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, just love to get it. And the one of the best things about it is it's also, what's the word? Portable,
right.
Yeah, it's also portable, so portable. That's really good, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to move on. We have so much stuff to talk about. Modern Warfare 3, of course, came out yes. Wednesday, I think it was.
Yes.
So I got it yesterday, and I've been playing it ever since. I mean, it's so fun. I got it for the PC, because I got Battlefield 3 for the Xbox, and yeah, I was very happy with it.
Battlefield 3 is an amazing game, as well as Modern Warfare 3.
Yeah, and really the main reason I got it for the PC is because I haven't really gotten many PC games in recent times, and also it's a small bit cheaper than the Xbox version. So, I decided I would just get it, you know,
and
for the PC.
I'm thinking now that if we got it for the Xbox, you know, I think you made a good move on that anyway.
Yeah.
It runs incredibly smooth.
Like, yeah. Basically,
incredible how smooth it is.
Basically, people have been saying, "Why bother getting Modern Warfare 3? It's the same graphics as Modern Warfare 2." And just with different maps, different guns, that kind of thing, different storyline, different career. They have actually made so many improvements. Instead of what Battlefield did was, what DICE did was they tried to
improve the graphics.
They make it look different. What they've done is they've improved the graphics. What Activision or what
Infinity
Ward has done is they haven't necessarily improved the graphics, but they've made it run really, really smoothly. Yeah, I'm getting 60 frames per second, which is really, really good. And I have a 512 meg graphics card.
And it's like it's in real life.
Yeah, it's really, really, really smooth. They've perfected it. They've improved graphics slightly. The storyline in Korea is so good. I just finished it there, and you know, you're Captain Price, you're getting into it, and
you know, and then
it's so kind of intense, and then people are dying. Like,
spoilers.
I'm not going to say. I'm just going to say certain people are kind of dying and stuff, and
and really
Makarov, and so it's based on World War III. I think the most, I mean, people know about some of the stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
The most incredible, I mean, you have to give them credit for the Eiffel Tower, like, collapsing
in one of the missions. I really want to do that mission.
And the Eiffel Tower just, you're on a bridge, and then the Eiffel Tower collapses. The graphics there is so good, and there's no juddering, I mean, the frame rate goes down slightly, but, I mean, it's just, like, it's so smooth.
Yeah.
It goes from, like, 60 to 55.
Yeah.
So, which is average. So, it's
not
really
average, it's above average.
Yeah. It's really, really smooth. So, they've really improved it there. Multiplayer experience is very, very, very good. Also, actually, they've added in lots of new guns. They've added a good few new guns. They brought back... What?
PKM Pecheng.
Oh, yeah, the machine gun.
Yeah.
They've brought back the MP5, yes, from Modern Warfare, the first one. I think they've listened to the community a bit more this time around.
Was it not in Modern Warfare 2?
That was the MP5K.
Same gun, really, I guess.
No, it's not. It's different.
Yeah, I know.
And the MP5 is so legend.
Yeah.
They brought back the G36.
That's incredible. And I love when you're reloading. It's like actually reloading. He gets a mag from his pocket, and he has the two mags, and he just flicks out the other and puts in. It looks really cool.
Yeah.
They've
put a lot more
down on the G36.
They've really put a lot more detail into the guns and that kind of thing as well.
And when I heard that they were bringing back the MP5, I was like, yes, because my favorite gun in Call of Duty 4
was the MP5
silenced with an R700
Okay. I love the UMP. I use the UMP a lot. They've brought that. They've kept that.
I still use the MP5 a lot. It's my favorite gun.
Basically, what happens multiplayer experience-wise, you've got kill streaks. You can assign kill streaks to certain classes, which is a big thing.
Also, on the right, now it says you press different buttons to use the different kill streaks.
Because
what was happening was, if you got a kill streak, and if you were saving it up for another time, and if you got another kill streak just after it, then you weren't able to use your first one.
So
now you're able to use them at any time.
That's a really good feature.
Yeah.
So, another thing, they've added in a lot of new game modes. They've added in survival. Survival is basically zombies. It's a Modern Warfare version of zombies.
Except it's...
I think it's a bit better. I wasn't a zombies fan. If you're a zombies fan, you know, it's a different approach to zombies, but the same kind of...
It's kind of...
You know, you have to survive in
this... Modern Warfare... It's kind of... It's not apocalyptic or anything. It's kind of more man versus man, not zombies versus man, you know.
Yeah. So, that's another thing. They've brought in, what's it called? Kill Confirmed, which is a really fun game mode.
That's my favorite game mode at the moment.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Basically... You shoot them, and then they give a dog tag, and then the dog tag, if you go over the dog tag, you get 50 points, and basically kill confirmed.
Yeah, so you're basically confirming the kills.
Yeah.
It's basically doubling your score. So it's the best way to really rank up in it.
So what else is there? What else? Oh, the maps are really, really good. I forgot how good Infinity Ward maps were. They're excellent. Yeah. They're mostly based in cities. But
there's one in the... It's kind of in Africa, isn't it? In the jungle.
Yeah. This, you know, they're very good. They're not as big as Battlefield maps, but they look very similar.
Don't they?
You know, they've done a good job. I must say, you have to give them a bit credit for that.
They're not exactly the same, you know, but they're pretty good.
They're similar, because they're a lot of the Battlefield maps are based in cities as well.
Yeah, what I love is it was in Modern Warfare 2 as well. Just this little, every once in a while, you see this little piece of paper just fluttering on fire or something, and just lands on the ground.
Yeah.
And I saw some guy just looking at it. I was playing Modern Warfare 2, and he's just looking at it, and he was shooting it. And then he was just like looking down at it, and I just came up and knifed him. But it was so funny, you know.
Yeah.
But it's amazing graphics, like.
Yeah. Looking at the just going through the single player as well, I've realized there's a lot of cinematics. There's a lot more cinematics than there would be on any other Call of Duty, and it's I think that's down to because. You know, when you're climbing up ladders on Battlefield, you see the hands and all that. So they're trying to make it more realistic by doing a couple of cinematics as well. There's a lot of stuff like getting into vehicles and shooting around the place and stuff like that.
Even when you're... Yeah. There's always an underwater mission. And it's so cool.
Yeah.
You're just there. And
the achievement you get is wet work, which is the original underwater mission.
Well, it wasn't underwater. It was on top of water. It was... You're on a boat in the Bering Sea.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the first mission, wasn't it? Yeah. No, it was the second mission. Because you're doing this kind of...
F&D. Okay.
Yeah.
Modern Warfare 3, you know, they haven't necessarily improved the graphics immensely, but they've certainly made it a lot smoother. They've taken a different approach to DICE, but it's not necessarily a worse one. I think it's a great game. Really fun. Multiplayer experience, just like any other Call of Duty, fantastic multiplayer experience. So, you cannot compare it to Battlefield because they're two different approaches, two different styles.
One of them
is... You got big maps, you got small maps.
One of them is kind of run around, shoot people in the face.
And then others is more organized. Yeah.
And
so,
just have to you, work.
You
as
can't
a team.
Compare it. So we better move on. Skyrim.
Yes.
Skyrim. So Skyrim came out the 11th of the 11th.
Now.
11.
Okay. I am not 100% sure what it is, so I'd like to...
I'll explain it.
Yeah.
I'll explain it.
Okay.
Skyrim, Kevin, is one of the biggest games of the year, I think. It's a really, really important game. Really important, okay? Just to clarify. It is the sequel to the game Oblivion, which is part of the Elder Scrolls series. This is a... Just in case you haven't heard of Oblivion before, or Skyrim, this is a role-playing game, and it's in a fantasy world. So, it's a very, very... I think it's a very in-depth game, because not even, I'd say, 2 in a million people will play the game the same way. The storyline changes depending on what style you play it in. So, there are items to unlock even after 100 hours of playing. It is so... There's so much stuff to do. It would normally take you about maybe a year to complete it.
It's in medieval times, and you'd be there, and you'd be getting all these axes, and then you get swords, and then all these long swords, then eventually you get guns. So, after 100 hours of playing it.
The detail in the graphics is really, really good. There's so much detail put into landscape, weapons, and to make the experience really, really realistic. In fairness, it is very, very good. People are saying this is going to be one of the best role-playing games ever. So, you are given the freedom. It's very kind of World of Warcraft-like. You're given the freedom to live in fantasy, in the fantasy land, however you want. So, you can buy houses, complete quests, kill everyone, if you want.
Okay.
Just go around killing everybody, or even just wander around the world.
If I get that game... That's what I'm going to do. Kill everyone.
Most people are going to complete the quests, trying to get more unlocks, you know, try and follow the storyline rather than just wandering around the place.
Yeah.
But you can do that if you want to. So the story changes, as I said. No one person will experience the story in the same way, and that's really very interesting. So if you complete it and you want to go through it again, you know, the chances are you're not going to go through it in the same way. It's very, very, very in-depth. And I think they really put their time making the game to use.
Yeah.
So, basically, the conversations that you have with people have improved immensely from Oblivion.
Conversations?
Yeah. So the conversations, so when you're talking to other people in your town, in your realm, or whatever it's called, basically the conversations, they flow naturally and seem a lot more realistic. There's not this kind of long pause when you say hello.
Yeah, yeah.
5 seconds later, hi. You know, there's a lot more kind of flow. Also, the answers you can give back are a lot more natural. What a human would actually say, not kind of more logical. So it's a very, very good, they've improved a lot on conversations. Also, they've improved on fighting. You can choose a race and get an opportunity to try out all skills. So it's kind of like World of Warcraft where you can select mage or whatever that, like that. But you get to select, you get a... kind of a trial of the skill levels first.
Now what I'd do is I'd be something like a mage, but I'd like to have like, I love the pets and stuff that you don't really have to, all you have to do is really sit back and let them do the work. That's who I really am, you know. I just sit back and cast spells and just let my animals do their work. That's all I really do. So
I'm
not best at it, but you know.
How this works is you can level up by using your skills, like throwing fireballs at people. Spells have also been improved in Skyrim. You can select spells to be active in both hands independently. And you can also... you can have spells active in both hands and you can fire them independently from both hands.
Yeah.
I like.
Yeah, lots of spells and...
fire, throwing and stuff.
You can throw your... pick up your cat and throw it at them with your left hand.
You don't have to do it two-handed.
And then the other hand is lighting the cat on fire.
What I've pointed out here is just a few improvements. I mean, if I was to go through all of them, we'd be here for the rest of the day just going through a massive list of, oh yeah, that thing as well, and the other.
Yeah.
You know. So is it, you is can it, play it in third person and first person yes. mode, which is very interesting.
Is this a good game?
Yes. If you like role playing. If you're more a first person shooter person, you probably won't enjoy it as much.
Sorry.
Because there's a lot more kind of adventure rather than if you're the person who's like always wants to stay in the action and stay in the story, and if you get lost, you're like, oh, how do I do this? It's more kind of a puzzle, adventure kind of thing.
This is me.
All right, go ahead.
I'm first-person shooters, and I'm kind of adventure.
So you like Minecraft?
Yes. That's my favorite game, probably.
Well, you probably like this.
Yeah. I'm checking out...
Do you like World of Warcraft?
There's another game as well called Terraria, which is like... Well, it's kind of like it, but it's like the same kind of thing.
If you like World of Warcraft, the chances are you probably like Skyrim.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
It's a similar style.
Yeah. I think I'll check it out anyway.
Like, now the difference is you can buy houses and settle down into a town and stuff like that. So it's slightly like Minecraft.
Except, can you build?
No.
Oh.
I don't think you can.
Okay.
Oh my god. Well, sorry. No. I was just looking at the other stories we have here. We better leave it at that because we're running low on time again. But big week for games and that kind of thing. Also, the Kindle Fire has come out. So I'll hopefully see you again next week with another Talks About Tech Weekly. Thank you very much for watching or listening to this show. Until next time, goodbye. Ooh. Bye.